For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. In this time of meditation, may you rest in the grace of the world and be free. In weakness, may you sense the strength of the eternal hills and rest in the grace of the world. In failure, may you be upheld like the buoyancy of water and rest in the grace of the world. In limitation, may you remember that the choices may be as great as the expanse of the sky and rest in the grace of the world. In insecurity, may you feel the solid earth beneath your feet and rest in the grace of the world. In despair, may you hear the joy in birds singing and rest in the grace of the world. In fear, may you feel the warmth of the sun and rest in the grace of the world. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. So be it. When I came across Martha L. Munson's simple meditation, based on an even more simple and profound quote by American poet Wendell Berry, it seemed to speak almost perfectly to the thoughts around the theme of grace that had been swirling around in my head for weeks, yearning to manifest themselves as words on the page. My husband and I spent the Christmas holiday with my parents, getting a glimpse of the brand new house that they had built for themselves in the middle of nowhere in the very appropriately named town of Comfort, Texas. As we gathered together as a family, something we rarely get the opportunity to do often, and shared memories and stories over copious amounts of food, including the obligatory South Texas tradition of several dozen tamales, my dad asked me if I would say grace at dinner on Christmas Day. This was not an unusual request, one that I have come to expect since announcing to my parents that I was going through the process of becoming a minister, and I was happy to oblige. As I pondered over what to say, it got me thinking about what it means when we say the word grace and just what kind of relationship we have with it. The word grace, by virtue of its Latin root gratia, has come to be synonymous with being thankful for receiving something. In Spanish, the word for thank you is gracias. But there is also a completely separate theological definition. That definition, according to Merriam-Webster, is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. The Oxford English Dictionary echoes the same sentiment, defining grace in theological terms as the free and unmerited favor of God. I was struck by the fact that the word unmerited appeared in both definitions. When was the last time you used that word in polite conversation? It's not a word that we're used to hearing often. For something to be unmerited, it means that there is nothing one must specifically do in order to achieve whatever that something is. Essentially, a person does not have to be a certain kind of individual or have to meet a certain level of performance in order to receive grace or assistance from the divine. Broken down further into layperson's terms, grace is something that is given by God to every single person. Furthermore, considering that it is unmerited, it is also something that we can never lose or have taken away from us. If we believe this to be true, then why is grace something that we are still asking for? Why is it something that we are still crossing our fingers hoping to receive? Is that what we are truly asking for? Or is it something else? It seems to me that we as humans have a transactional relationship and expectation with God when it comes to grace. It is only when we are receiving things that we consider to be good, or when things are going the way that we want them, that we consider ourselves to have God's grace, or that things are happening by the grace of God. If, however, grace is something that is divine assistance that is always with us regardless, then that means that it must be present when things are not going the way that we want them to. Grace is both in having an abundance of things and having nothing. It is present when we are at rock bottom with no hope in sight. Grace is not simply the cosmic cure-all that alleviates and eradicates all hardship and makes our lives easy and error-free from that point forward. It does not provide us the solution. It gives us the fuel we need to keep moving forward in order to find the solution. It is this duality that I hear in Munson's words. We are invited and called to rest in the grace of the world and be free, even in moments we would rather avoid. Moments like weakness, failure, limitation, insecurity, despair, and fear. In each of those negative connotations, there is a dormant and ever-present sense of hope and strength that reminds us of the divine assistance that is always there in the grace of the world. It also speaks to the reality that is present in moments of grace. It is still there, even if you do not have everything figured out, or if you have no idea where to turn in order to find the next step of the journey. It is the underlying sense that somehow everything will be okay, and everything will find a resolution. It is the assurance that the next step will make itself known and visible, even if we must rest from actively having to seek it out. It is this relationship I hear in the words of Casey Stratton's music that served as the reading for today. Stratton personifies grace as an acquaintance that has come into his life, someone that has happened to wander into his life when it was least expected. Despite his initial reluctance and uncertainty to allow this stranger in, Stratton, whose autobiographical narrator suggests that he is at a low point in his life, opens himself up to the possibility. He speaks frankly, acknowledging that he has found grace in the dark and the light, and he brings us along the journey with him. We hear that once it has become a part of his life, that his situation begins to change. This begins to happen both lyrically and musically within the song, as Stratton's voice begins to pick up strength and the music swells into a more confident crescendo. By the time the piece reaches its full climax, Stratton's voice is literally and proverbially ringing from the rafters of the church in which he is singing. He is not only speaking to how the encounter with grace has impacted his life, but announcing like a fanfare of trumpets from the rooftops to others, especially those in similar situations to that of Stratton's narrator, that the grace he has allowed to be present has been the catalyst that has propelled his life to change for the better. It is the same sentiment that I hear even louder and clearer in the words of Maria Teresa Bustillo Gallardo in the invocation from earlier. Bustillo speaks directly to the supernatural power that she feels and to which she relates. It is not God or the divine, but ultimate grace and universal intelligence. She acknowledges the existence of grace in all possible situations, perfection and imperfection, understanding and misunderstanding, the journey of mishaps that we find ourselves stumbling along. Bustillo's powerful words not only invoke what the recognition of the power of grace can do for our own individual lives, but what is possible and what can be achieved if we harness its power as a collective people. Her words speak directly to our sixth and seventh principles, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are all a part. It is when we discover that, in the midst of all our struggles and at our lowest points, we have divine assistance that is always walking alongside us. It serves as a reminder that we are not alone in our journeys. Once we come to the realization that we are not alone, we can become the interdependent web of all existence and serve to remind others that they are not alone in their struggle either. When we are one united body, as Bustillo says, we are infinite when we are dreaming, and we are invincible when we are loving fearlessly. It is together with our collective grace that we can turn the peace, liberty, and justice for all from the sixth principle into a reality. As much as it is something that has been given to us by the divine, we get the opportunity to be reminders of that grace to others who need to know that grace is not only present in their lives, but it can do more powerful things than we can possibly imagine. I hear it in the story of my own life and my own struggle. When I was 18 years old, I moved more than 3,000 miles away from home to begin my life attending my dream college in my favorite city, Washington, D.C. I was excited at the prospect and the direction that the future held, and I was ready to embrace whatever life had in store. I was not prepared for that reality to look like coming to the realization that I was queer, and that the more and more I began to embrace myself and who I was, the less and less that the friends I had initially come out to became with me. All of the friends that I had the September of my first semester had turned on me by March of my second semester. I began to downward spiral. Frustration at my situation led to depression. Depression led to not wanting to be a burden on others, which led to thoughts of suicide. I don't believe in having regrets in life, but I do feel like there was grace in that struggle and in the still unexplained voice that I heard one day in my dorm that told me to get to the counseling center and seek help. My life ended up being led in a completely different direction, one that led me to transfer schools and come back to Texas to be closer to family. It was in Texas that I was able to flourish. I was able to live openly as myself, to finish school and graduate with honors, to meet and marry the person that I love more than anything, and to realize the call to ministry that I had been ignoring for years that would change my life for the better and give it the meaning and purpose for which I had been searching. To say that there is grace in the struggle is allowing ourselves to rest in the midst of the unfinished struggle and allow those forces which are more powerful than ourselves to continue the work and guide us in unexpected directions and present us with unexpected conclusions. Perhaps we find in this strength the collective work of our community. Perhaps it is a moment of rest in order to find deep inside of ourselves the strength that we did not know we had in order to resume the struggle and better navigate the obstacles we once swore that we could never get through and never get past. When I was looking up the theological definition of grace, I was thinking of it in terms of being a noun. But it can also function as a verb. The definition of grace as a verb, from the same Merriam-Webster definition as earlier, is to confer dignity or honor upon. We are the recipients of dignity and honor from the divine. We have been valued as worthy and important, and that will never go away or be taken from us. It will be with us in the highest of high points and the lowest of all. And it is something that can have more power and more impact than we can realize. So as you leave from here today, I invite you to put aside the perceptions you have of grace, what it is and what it is supposed to be, and rest for a while, perhaps in the peace of the world, as Wendell Berry suggests, and allow yourself to encounter it, just like the narrator in Casey Stratton's song. And my hope is that you not only get the chance to know it in that one encounter, but to also find the grace that has always been yours. May it be the companion you need along the journey and ever present with you in the struggle. And may you be the encouragement to others to find that same grace and allow it to change their lives as well. Blessed be. Amen. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. Namaste. Thank you all so much.